Welcome to Food for Faith. This is John O'Connor offering a reflection from the new collection of pieces that I've written over the last few years in response to requests from people that these be available not only online but also in a hard copy. So this audio reflection, this podcast, is one of those pieces. It's from the earlier part of the book, and it explains some of the thinking that led me to write these reflections. So this is one of the reflections from the book. I've called this one, Too Close for Comfort. From theology classes and books of doctrine, I learnt a lot about how God had been recognized, received, and related to since the beginning of time. Before the birth of God into our human realm as Jesus Christ, the deity was most widely recognized in cosmic signs in the heavens, perhaps the rainbow, the harbinger of the new era of intimacy, of relationship between God and humans, or the clouds, stars, maybe pillars of fire in the skies that guided people on their desert journey from captivity to freedom. The dominant understanding was that God lived in the heavens, and therefore it was logical that the clearest signs of the divine would appear in the heavens. There were many exceptions to this, including when the holy person would, often on behalf of the people, climb the mountain to converse with God, and then bring the message from God down to the people. One of the central rituals of Old Testament prayer was the use of incense and sacrifice with fire to transform what was earthly and base, grains of incense or an animal, for example, into smoke, which could travel upwards to reach the nostrils of God in the heavens to please and appease the deity. Tragically, we have little real appreciation of the difference Jesus makes to this understanding. We still work to get ourselves to a point where we think God wants us to be happier, healthier, holier, as if we don't really believe the gospel evidence that in Jesus, God comes to wherever we are and however we are. In Jesus, the God who was known to live in the heavens has come to earth, not just to the mountaintop to interact with a person who was thought to be good enough, but to an unknown couple in a lowly cave that was usually a shelter for animals. While a Messiah was expected, the actual method of the Saviour's arrival was unthinkably ordinary and even scandalous, a stumbling block, especially to those whose religious expectations could not comprehend a Messiah who spent most of his time with the most needy, the sinners, the unchurched, those who saw themselves as unchurchable. We look back 2,000 years confident that, had we heard Jesus preaching and witnessed his miracles of healing and forgiveness, we would have stood with him and for him to the end. But in the same thought, we often seek to control Jesus within structures and expectations that may well be repeating the mistake of the Pharisees. Perhaps our problem is that we prefer a God who is distant, living in far-off heavens and ready to change the weather, the exam result, or the health diagnosis at our call. For 2,000 years now, humans have been struggling to live in relationship with a God who is with us. But let's not be too tough on ourselves. Yes, the shift from God as distant to God who in Jesus Christ is present is a big change, and humans don't make such shifts easily or quickly. But after the experience of 20 centuries, we might be more ready than any of our ancestors to enter the new era that the first disciples of Jesus embraced after the resurrection. In Jesus, the God who was generally understood to be distant was present, living, walking, talking, breathing, laughing, crying, singing, joking, playing, eating, and drinking. In Jesus, the God who was known to be holy chose those who knew themselves to be weak and even without worth to be his most intimate friends. And because they knew their frailty and unworthiness, they were ready and open. They had nothing to lose. Letting go of their own perception of their personal prestige, and even their own goals and projects of success, they allowed the choice of Jesus for them, rather than their own ideas, to be the voice that determined their own personal value, their capacity and the quality of their relationship with them. Our struggle is that we think that a relationship with Jesus is what we can have once we overcome our weaknesses, our problems, and our sinfulness. But the method for divine action we find in Jesus is different. Instead of my trying to transcend my own struggles and sinfulness, motivated by my goodwill and maintained by my well-intentioned discipline and commitment, my starting point for a relationship with Jesus is exactly where and how I am. And the problem with that is that where I am today is really where I really want to be. This might be a problem for me, but it is no problem for God, who today is asking to live with me wherever and however I am. That reflection was taken from the new collection of Food for Faith Reflections, published recently. You can order a copy from any good bookseller. Just ask them if they stock it, and they will be able to obtain it, or directly from Copy Press, the printer in Nelson, New Zealand. You could also email me if you're unable to find a copy, or look on Facebook or the other social media pages for where to get the book.